So many of you will know that at the moment we're in a series. We're following through some teaching, some thinking, discussions, pondering on this whole idea about being called to grow and what that might mean for us. So this is about how we grow as individuals in our spiritual faith, what that means for us. And it's also about what it might mean for us as a church and how we grow and what that might look like and how we might bless others through that growth. Because faith isn't designed to be static. It isn't something that you acquire and then nothing happens. For faith to be real, it constantly will change us and take us forward. And this idea of growth is there in Scripture. It's in the New Testament, particularly as we've been looking at Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. And it's the idea of God's kingdom, that we're part of God's kingdom, and that it's infectious, it spills out, it can't help it, it's creative, it grows, it changes. And they're all signs of the kingdom. Last week we were thinking about the idea of a tiny seed, and things are often in the kingdom, start very small, but they have the potential to grow into something really big and wonderful that blesses other people. But today we're going to do a little bit of a reality check, because the New Testament, the Bible tells us about this exciting, wonderful thing that we're involved in as we're part of the kingdom. It is life-affirming, it's spirit-filled. It can be dangerous at times, it keeps us moving forward. It's full of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But there's also a reality check that God gives to us and that Jesus talked about, and we're going to look at that today and think about what that might be. Because when you go forward in a new venture, it's really sensible, isn't it, to go forward with your eyes open to see what the realities are. It's sensible to be wise and astute so that you can make the right decisions as you move forward, as you make the choices. This is what Jesus said. He said, "I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves." So there's something there about a reality check, about this amazing kingdom that we're drawn into, a kingdom that changes us, that helps us to grow and come close to Jesus, that impacts on our communities and the people around us. But there's also something about that growth which can sometimes be challenging, and that's what we're going to think about today. So I'm going to invite Rosemary to come up to us, and she's going to read from Matthew, Matthew 13. There are some Bibles on the front, on the tables, if you want to follow it. And it's starting from verse 24. So over to Rosemary.
And it's page 979 in the church Bibles. Jesus told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed ears, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?' 'An enemy did this,' he replied. The servants asked him, 'Do you want us to go and pull them up?' 'No,' he answered, 'because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters first to collect the weeds, tie them into bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'
So today, we're going to talk about weeds. And some people might, particularly gardeners and people that are up with the allotments, might be starting to feel slightly anxious at this point as we talk about weeds. But it's an important reality check for us as we think about kingdom growth. Jesus told some wonderful stories, and they're stories that help us think and they challenge us. Wonderful parables that have amazing deep truths in them. And this is one for us to try and unpick and understand, this parable of the weeds. It's right in the middle of some wonderful stories about growing and harvest. And it's interesting to think, why did Jesus tell this story at this point? A story about a farmer in his field. Jesus names the seed as the people of the kingdom, that's us, and the farmer as himself. And yet at the same time as all this wonderful growing is going on, there's something else happening, isn't there, that's running parallel. There's an enemy that's sowing weed seeds in amongst the good seed. And Jesus names that enemy as the evil one. In fact, if you look a little bit further in the chapter, you can check it when you go home, Jesus thankfully gives us an explanation about this parable, which is really helpful. And you might want to check that out a little bit later on in verse 39. So what's actually going on here? Why is this happening? The instinct of the farm workers is to pull the crop up. It's to try and protect all this amazing seed that they've planted. And that's a really natural thing to want to do, isn't it? But Jesus doesn't tell them to do that. He instructs them to allow the weeds and the corn, the harvest, to grow together alongside one another. In fact, he's really clear that to protect the good crop from being destroyed, you've got to just keep going with it until the final part of harvest. And then everything will be sorted out. The weeds are going to be separated from the crop. So I wonder what you thought when you read this passage. I wonder what things came into your mind when you read this, because it's an unusual parable, isn't it? I wonder, when I read it, I felt slightly uncomfortable about this idea of reckoning and this kind of sifting selection process that goes on at harvest. And also, I worried about the crop. What about the crop? Isn't it going to get damaged by the weeds? Is it going to spoil it? This is a real reality check about kingdom growth for us. As we nurture, as we try and grow God's harvest in our lives and in our church, there's going to be some things that are going to be hard for us, that we're going to be frustrated by, that we're going to be annoyed by. And Jesus is warning us that that is part and parcel of kingdom growth. One of the most interesting things that's happened in healthcare, many of you know that I've just come out of an NHS role, is that over the last 10 years, the medical profession have become much better about doing reality checks. And they've done that in the most interesting places, actually in the operating theatres. They've reviewed some of the tragic stories that we occasionally hear. They're very unusual, where people have not had good outcomes from their surgery. And their desire to want to try and do things better and to improve things has driven some groups across the country to look at how we can do this in a better way. And they've gone to a really interesting industry to help them do this. And over the last 10 years, there's been lots of training in the NHS about this. I don't know if any of you know about this. Do you know what industry they've been to help them with some of these problems around surgery? I'm not sure if anyone might know this. I thought I would ask. It's the aeronautical industry. That seems really strange, doesn't it, that you'd want to go to engineering and aeronautical design. But within that area of aeronautical design, they've done lots and lots of work about human factors. And some of you might know about this already, the impact that humans have when they start to do things. Because we make mistakes. It's human nature, isn't it? And that's the last thing you want to do when you've got a plane taking off, isn't it? You don't want human error to happen. And they've done wonderful work around checklists, reality checks, looking at what's happening, having a real proper open focus, honest focus about what's happening, and then putting very clear things into place that people learn and practice so that they know what to do in an emergency. And that's really sensible, isn't it? It's astute, it's being wise, it's a reality check. And Jesus is doing this for us when we look at this parable. Amongst all this amazing teaching around growth, which is all really exciting, and it should be, there's also a reality check about the kingdom that sometimes it's going to be difficult and it's going to be a challenge. So I want you to grab your Bibles that we've got on the table. We're just going to have a pause for a minute. I'm going to get you to do a little bit of work around this. If you want to open up and look at the chapter, so it's Matthew 13, 24. And I want you to see what insights you can find from this story together that are both encouraging for us around growth, but also discouraging. So you might just want to see if you can find a few. And we'll just do this for a minute or two, just to give you a chance to look at the passage and think about things that are encouraging and discouraging. What is the reality check for us from this passage as we start to think about kingdom growth? Have a think. We'll just get a little bit of feedback from people, just to see if we can pick out any really helpful things that might help us think about this passage. Does anybody want to share some of the insight that they've got about kingdom growing that they think will be helpful for us this morning? Anyone brave? We're having an interesting discussion in our group, but I won't put any pressure on anyone to feedback. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a very interesting
point. We've actually put the attitudes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then also, one other point
that brought up,
it wasn't a bit harsh,
it happened to Yes. Yeah. That's one of the hard things about reading this passage, isn't it? Yeah. I had another one at the back that someone will say. We're in a battle. Yeah. So explain that a little bit more, Rosemary. What was that discussion in your group around battle? So there's a sense of as we grow that there's going to be opposition. Okay, yeah.
I see when everyone was sleeping,
yeah,
the enemy came in.
Yeah.
So we've got to be alert.
Yeah, it's really helpful. Yeah, do we have that down? We have that in this group as well. So that was an interesting observation because I didn't notice that when I was preparing. This is why doing group discussion is really fascinating, because it draws out things in a richer way when we look at scripture together. And it is a really fascinating observation, isn't it? It's while we were sleeping that some of this happened. Yes, that's really helpful. Yeah.
The worst of that effect that, you know, with being the wheat, you've got the wheat alongside you. And every day, wherever we are, we have people alongside us who don't know Jesus, either just ignorant or might actually be trying to sort of challenge us or knock us down. But actually, that's our calling, isn't it? To be in amongst other people that the wheat is amongst.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other interesting comment we had from this group is that maybe that process of growing alongside is actually really important for our own growth, and the way that we produce the harvest at the end, that there's something dynamic going on in there, that the challenges also help to form us and help us grow. So did I summarise that?
For me, when I read it, it was about that in order to feel like something was like a real achievement, that you need to go through some difficulties and obstacles.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's the reality check, isn't it? Of somewhat. This is about life. You know, Jesus talked about real life and what it's like to live on this earth and some of the challenges that we have. This is Jesus being really honest to us as we go on this journey with growth. And there's just a couple of things. There's three things that I wanted to share from my thoughts about this passage, which I hope you're going to find helpful. So do you want to pop the slide on from Marion? Yes, please. Yeah, thank you. So these are the three things that I picked out, and I put in a nice theological word, so I thought I'd try and practice saying it in the middle, but I'll come to that in a minute. So the first thing that I wanted to share with you, I'm hoping that the Zoom folks can see the screen as well, is about the idea that there's a spiritual reality check here. That as we look, and as a church, we're thinking about what it might mean to grow, and to have an impact on our community around us, to grow in our own walk, our own discipleship, and also as a church. There's a real reminder in this story that this is a spiritual endeavour that we're part of. You know, we can make lots of practical plans. We can decide about resources. We can put all our human energy into what we do and what we practice. And of course, that's right. We should do that. But this passage reminds us that we are part of or drawn into a spiritual reality that's going on all around us. This isn't just something that we do with human strength. We're joining in the spiritual realms as we start to move forward and as we say to God, come and work amongst us. This parable talks about angels. It talks about a malicious enemy undermining God's kingdom. There's something amazing that's going on around us that isn't just about our own physical experience here on earth. We're part of a spiritual experience. And that's one of the things that we share with people as we talk about our faith, that there's more to life than just our physical experience and dying and living and then dying. That there's a spiritual reality to life. And that the parable that Jesus gives us here, it draws us into a spiritual reality. And it's a reality that has a battle involved in it. There's a spiritual battle that's underway. It involves the whole of God's creation as it moves towards a time when eventually God tells us we're going to be fully restored and fully healed and as God intended his creation to be. But as we move out now, as part of this spiritual reality, we're going to encounter weeds. We're going to encounter opposition and resistance and barriers because we are in a spiritual battle. One of the pictures that the New Testament gives to us. And I found this analogy really helpful when I was a younger Christian. I'm going to share it with you. I mean, like all analogies, it's got its weaknesses, but it just helped me to understand a little bit about the realities of what it means to be in God's kingdom. And it's taken from the Second World War. Some of you might have heard this before. So when the Allies landed on Normandy beaches during D-Day, as they took the beaches, at that point, the war had ended. The victory was there. They had defeated the enemy. The enemy was broken as they came onto the beaches and sacrificed their life. At that point, the Second World War had basically finished. And yet it took many months as the Allies moved through Europe to reclaim the freedom for the countries that they moved through. There was still fighting that went on with the enemy. There were still skirmishes until eventually there was a point when they reached into Germany and were able to release the whole of that area into freedom. And that's a bit like the reality for us now. We're in a period of the now and not yet of the kingdom. So on the cross, Jesus died. It's a historical fact. It's really clear in history that that event happened. And at that point, the Bible tells us that Jesus defeated evil. The battle was won for God's world. Death and sin were defeated, especially as Jesus rose again in the resurrection. And we're going to be thinking about some of these things as we take communion a bit later on. But we're still in this period where we haven't quite got to the final end of this story. God's kingdom is still being worked out, a bit like as the Allies moved through Europe and there were skirmishes and fights with the enemy. At some point, we will get to the end and we are sharing in that as a church of God's kingdom as we move forward. And as we do that, people's lives become free and they're released from all the sin and the darkness that hold us in. And as we move forward, that happens. But we're in this kind of time in history where the battle has been won, but it's not quite finished. And again, this parable tells us that there will be a point in history when it's completed at the end, when Jesus returns, that will happen. So that's the first thing to think about, that there's a spiritual reality for us, that it reminds us that this isn't just a physical endeavour as we move and as we ask God to come and work amongst us. And then there's this wonderful, lovely word that I'm going to try and say correctly. It's eschatological. I hope that those of you that know theology that I've said that correctly. I'm looking at Rosemary particularly, she's nodding, so it's fine. But this is a wonderful word, and it basically means, it's about the end times that I've been talking about, but it's this idea of having a perspective that is eternal, that we don't just think about the here and now, but that God tells us that there is an eternity for us to experience. And this parable is all about this idea of having a perspective that is eternal. You see, Jesus tells us that there's growth that's going to be spurting up all over the place. It's going to be popping up here and there. And certainly in the early church, that's what they experienced. They had this amazing, it had amazing impact as the Holy Spirit moved and the church started to grow. God's work, his miracles, his saving of people and changing their lives, it was popping up all over the place. And yet they lived with this understanding that there was still more to come, this idea about the future. And it's something that we need to hold on to, this eternity perspective. That's the whole point of why we're doing this. And I think when we were talking about some of the challenges and things to remember a couple of weeks ago, someone mentioned, I think it was Tim, that there's an urgency about this, because at some point, this period of time where God is patient and waiting, because he's compassionate and loving towards us. We've sung this, that's already, at some point, there will be a point when we will get to the end of this age and when God comes again. And there will be a period where there will be an accountability. But yet God is compassionate and gracious, and he longs for everybody to know him. So we've got this, we're in this wonderful time, this challenge, this urgency that we have to share the good news of God's love to around us. So that's the second thing to think about. And the third one is about attitude. So I was really pleased that was something that came up from your group, because it was something that I was thinking about as well. There's going to be barriers, there's going to be obstacles as we move forward, but there's something wonderful in here about how we face those challenges. And I was looking at Tom Wright's commentary on Matthew. Some of you might know some of his work. He's a really accessible person to read about the New Testament. And he uses one word to describe the whole of this story, which I found really helpful. And that's the attitude of being patient, of being patient. You see, kingdom growth, being involved in allowing God to work amongst us and grow us and change us, it requires patience. Waiting for that mustard seed to grow into a large tree requires patience. Waiting for the yeast to spread and leaven the bread, the stories that we looked at last week, it requires patience. Waiting, patience, and wisdom. So are we being patient? And what does that mean for us as we move forward as a church? As we wait for growth, as we wait for God to work amongst us. Because you see, the trouble is the things that we might think are weeds might not be weeds at all. And that's the challenge, isn't it, from this passage. What's a weed to one person sometimes is a beautiful plant to someone else. Got a group nodding at the back there. We don't really know. We're not really very good judges at this as human beings about what is weed and what is harvest and plant. And Jesus warns us that we need to be really careful about making judgments about these things. Because the trouble is, if we make a decision and we think it's a weed, we might have dug up something that is an amazing thing that would grow into something really beautiful. We might inadvertently damage what is good. And that's a real challenge for us, isn't it? And that's a wise place for us to position ourselves. This reality of a world where good and bad are all mixed in together. This reality as we wait for God's kingdom to come fully, to be fully revealed, we need to be patient. And we need to not judge. And we need to give this over to God. And that's the other thing that comes through from this passage, that the decision-making about what this looks like, who are the weeds and who is the harvest, that's not for us to make. It's God's decision. And that's a real relief. That releases us from having to make those decisions ourselves, because God will ultimately make those decisions. The final thing I just wanted to add, just that I observed, and it's really just a finish on a note of encouragement, is this story, despite all the challenges, and we're going to think about some of these in our small groups next week when we meet together in our smaller groups for our small group Sunday. We're going to look at what some of these challenges might be for us and how we might address them. The other thing that comes through from this story is that there is a harvest. There's no doubt about it. Jesus is quite clear about that. despite the weeds, despite the challenges, there is a harvest. And we should be really encouraged by that, because there will be growth, and God will do his thing and make his earth right again, and there will be a harvest. It should encourage us. We should expect barriers, we should expect challenges, but we need to press on with patience and continue with the mission that he's called us, because there will be a harvest. So just to finish up, this story, this challenging story, reminds us that we're in a spiritual, we're not just physical beings, we're actually involved in a spiritual endeavour as well. That it's an eternity perspective in what we do. It isn't just about the here and now. And then Jesus challenges us to be patient as we do that.